Hello and welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor, in Dallas, Texas. And today we are going to take a positive spin on using dental real estate brokers. Now, before I go too far into this, I have covered real estate brokers in the past, but I was mainly focusing on how they got paid. And so let's just assume you listened to that episode and you are no longer concerned, or at least not as concerned, about how real estate brokers get paid, and you have decided that you want the help of a real estate broker. Now, remember, this little mini series is trying to stay positive. I know as lawyers, a lot of times we just kind of bring up the negative things, mainly because people ask us questions when they're concerned or when they've had a bad experience. And so a lot of this podcast has been speaking to people's fears and negative feedback about people or professionals or whatever. And so try to keep this positive. I feel like real estate brokers have been misaligned a little bit. And I am, once again, just like I did for the contractors, I'm going to advocate for using a competent, and I stress competent, and maybe I double stress, honest real estate broker, dental real estate broker. Now, like other professionals, there's no rule book that says you have to use a dental-specific real estate broker. Any broker, so long as they are licensed, can help you. And like everything, there is always the chance that you will have a very positive experience with a non-dental broker and a negative experience with a dental real estate broker. But again, we're just improving the odds. And so we need to talk about, well, what are the odds and why would the odds get improved by using a dental real estate broker? I can tell you this, and this is just anecdotal observation from all the deals that we've done. I can unequivocally state that on average, I mean, I wouldn't even say average, the overwhelming majority of people who use dental real estate brokers seem to get a better deal than people who do not. Either people who are self-represented, people who are not using a broker, who seem to get the worst deal of all, and people who are using a broker who is not dental specific. Now, I know there's no real way to compare. There's no possibility of doing like an A-B test because every negotiation is different. Every tenant is different. Every landlord's different. Every city is different. So we do need to be careful about comparing. But this is just the accumulation of what I consider a pretty good amount of data. And it's all anecdotal, but it's pretty rare when I see a dental real estate broker, an LOI that was negotiated by a dental real estate broker. And it's just really rare when I'm going like, oh man, this doesn't make a lot of sense. However, I would say most of the times when I see someone who is represented by a non-dental specific real estate broker, I'm seeing that LOI. I'm like, ugh, what is this? Why are they getting this? Or why are they getting that? It's almost always negative. Not all the time, but almost always. And like I said, people who aren't using a broker, man, I feel like they're getting taken. We try to always encourage our clients to at least consider using a broker because they seem to consistently get the worst deals. Again, no real way to compare, but that's just our feeling. I think all the attorneys in our office would agree that kind of good, better, best, and going self-represented seems to be bad. Good start is using a broker. Now, there are two types of non-dental specific real estate brokers. There are commercial real estate brokers, people who do this for a living. They may not have represented a dentist before or not very often, but they are professional negotiators. They understand your market, or at least they understand the community, and they try to do a good job. And their failings are usually an understanding of dentistry, maybe not appreciating all the issues. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But there is another class of brokers. And these are brokers who have very little experience doing a commercial deal. A lot of times what we see just kind of blows my mind, but we will see people who will say, hey, my cousin Kathy, she sells homes, but she says she can help me out on this deal. And there's almost no way to talk about that without insulting any of our clients who have done that. But man, that's not as rare as it should be. Let me just state that if you are using someone who just has a license but has no experience in commercial real estate, they are almost as bad as you not having a broker. Almost 100% of those deals are just bonkers. Like, wow, this is bad. And what happens is the client has this false sense of security. Like, oh yeah, my cousin Kathy's taking care of this, but she's not. And Kathy doesn't even know that she has a bad deal. And who's going to fire their cousin Kathy? I don't even know who this Kathy is. I'm sorry if your name is Kathy. But anyway, that seems to be like the worst scenario. Anyway, using a commercial real estate broker, I think kind of comes down to, and I mean the kind that are not dental specific, I think we see some better results when it comes down to the personality. Are they go-getters? Are they going to fight for their client? And yeah, there's the gamut there. And again, it's the odds. You're hoping that they are good negotiators. You're not able to verify that as easily as people who are operating in the dental world. So again, just for definition's sake, a person that we would call a dental-specific real estate broker, somebody who spends most of their time, I don't want to put a number on it, but, you know, I don't know, 70, 80% of their time is working with dentists. And I would personally like to see the part that they're not representing dentists, I'd still like to see that in healthcare. You know, so if they're doing half dentistry, half other healthcare, that I'd still probably consider them dental. Just inside of healthcare, their biggest client is by proportion is dentistry. That probably still counts. But I think what we are looking for is a certain threshold of knowledge. Well, what is that knowledge that we're trying to look for? What we're trying to look for is the knowledge of two things. Number one, how are landlords going to respond to dentists so that they can get the best deal for you? And number two, how are they going to understand where you are going to best be positioned for long-term success? The axiom in real estate is location, location, location. And I think that it is easy for people to misunderstand what that means. It is important to have things like visibility, signage, being on a busy street. But to be honest, that's a little superficial. I'm not discounting it because we want that for all of our clients. But if that's as deep as your broker understands, then that's another area where there might be false sense of security. What you'd rather have is somebody who understands your industry intimately, and they understand the difference between a general dentist and a cosmetic dentist. Not even just the differences in specialties, but like what type of dentistry do you want to do? What type of patient do you want to have? So if they're doing data and they're seeing how many dentists are in the proximate area, well, you can be surrounded by a lot of dentists and not have a lot of competition, or you can be not by a ton of dentists but have a tremendous amount of competition. You need a broker who understands that concept. If there's only five people around you but they all want the same patients, that's tough. But if there's 15 people around you but you're the only person doing your specialty or your targeted market, that actually might be a positive. And if they are just a traditional commercial real estate broker, they might not appreciate that. And what we tell clients is, hey, if you know more than your broker, then you need to question whether or not that's the right broker for you. I think that's a really good test. You want your broker to bring some insight to you. Hey, this is what's happening in this local market, and this is how you're going to be positioned for success. You need to be able to have that information jive with what you know about dentistry, and hopefully they're providing some insights, some things you didn't even think about. So it's not just deeply understanding dentistry, but also deeply understanding the communities that you want to operate in and how those two mesh together. And one of the other reasons we like using real estate brokers who are specializing in dentistry, and specifically fairly local dental real estate brokers, is because of the pulse they have on the community. Here's what happens in a healthy metropolitan area, especially that may have things coming up online or areas of town that are growing. What happens is if you're about, let's just say you're going to build a building and you want to have 10 tenants and you go get a broker, you're the owner and you're going to have a sales broker. You're going to have somebody who's going to be out there and their job is to fill these 10 units, or maybe you're going to use one and you're going to hire somebody to fill the other nine. What that broker is going to do, and maybe you do in coordination with him, is you're going to figure out what do I want my tenant mix to look like? What's going to get people here into the shopping center, or, you know, depending on what you're trying to do. And you're going to say, well, let's have a Starbucks and let's also have a dentist because they seem to always pay their rent and, you know, whatever. That broker, that sales broker is going to say, who do I know that has a contact with Starbucks? And they're going to call Starbucks. And then they're going to say, who do I know that can get me a dentist in here, or maybe two or three dental professionals in here? They are going to know, because these worlds are small, they're going to know, I'm going to call this guy. He only does dentistry. Or I'm going to call this guy and that guy. So your project that's not even going to get built to next year, and not even going to get finished to the year after that, all of a sudden that dental real estate broker knows about an opportunity that has never hit LoopNet, has never been published, no one knows about it, and these other commercial brokers may not ever know it, in fact, likely do not know about it, because nobody thought to tell them, say, hey, I'm going to have a building that's coming up. It's going to be really nice. It's going to have a great anchor tenant, or it's going to have a Starbucks or whatever, and I want someone in here that you cater to. Bring me someone who is going to be a good fit for here. And then that dental real estate broker is going to say, well, you know, who in my list of contacts seems to fit in with what's going to happen in that project. And so there's just, and it's easier for these real estate brokers, the dental real estate brokers, to place dentists. Not saying that they have exclusivity on this stuff. It's just, and the longer your dental real estate broker has been in that community, the more this stuff kind of happens, the more they have their ear to the ground, and the more easy it is to find out about things that you're just not going to find out. We have, on occasion, somebody will say, I can run my own demographics and I can get on LoopNet and find this stuff. And you just have to realize, like, yes, that's a possibility, but you are also shutting yourself off from other opportunities. And this is not just for projects that are going to be built. It's also the case, like maybe there's a pretty nice and fairly exclusive area and you're a cosmetic dentist and there's this small shopping center in exactly where you want to go. And that broker who manages that property, he knows that one of his tenants isn't going to renew or is struggling or whatever. Who does he call to fill that in, especially if it's an old dental office? But no matter what it is, if he's like, I think I want a cosmetic dentist in my shopping center, who's he going to call? He's not just going to like randomly call a bunch of commercial brokers. He's going to call the two or three people he knows that do dentistry. Now, one of the other areas that I think it's pretty important is that when you are a dental real estate broker, you have this body of experience and this body of data where when you go to the landlord, you're able to know pretty instantly where their offering fits in with the other landlords who are offering stuff in town, but specifically with dentists. You have to bear in mind that most businesses who get into long-term leases, they actually don't make it to the end of their lease. So dentists are at a premium because they do. And you have to know how to leverage that stability with the landlord. And dental real estate brokers do that. That's what they do all day long. And they have to be able to know, like when a landlord says, hey, we're going to give you X amount of dollars for tenant improvement allowance, that broker is going to instantly know, hey, listen, I haven't had that low of a tenant improvement allowance in 3 years. Everyone else is giving dentists this amount of money. So there's just this body of evidence that you can't get without just being in there and representing a lot of dentists. If a quote-unquote regular commercial broker gets a TI amount, he just says, hey, I want more, and doesn't really have a great way to compare it. There's nothing to compare to other people in the industry. Now, one of the other issues, or I guess values to using a dental real estate broker is like these other dental professionals, you can get verifiable reports. Now, again, we're always going to stress caution when getting feedback about other professionals. You're going to need to sift, evaluate. You know, again, there's going to be stuff that the feedback is going to be entirely legitimate. Like, did my broker call me back in a timely manner? Did I feel like my broker was really fighting for me? Did I feel my broker was stretched too thin? Do I feel my broker really understood what I was trying to accomplish in terms of location and patient base? And although those are legitimate, those are things that you can evaluate, that just anybody can evaluate. What is tough, and this is kind of like half evaluatable. That's not a word, is it? And half not. But you do want to be careful when you hear someone say, and I'm going to stress this because I hear this a lot, actually. And they're going to say, I don't think he got me enough tenant improvement allowance. Or I didn't like him because he didn't get me as much free rent. Those are the ones where it's tough because it actually might be true. And I have seen it where I've just been like, man, did this broker... We always try to be professional, but once in a while I'll see a broker, even one that operates in dentistry, and I'm like, man, these don't seem like that great of terms. But as you learn, especially as we get to talk to the landlord and we hear a lot of this stuff, and it turns out that, I mean, a lot of times, not every time, which is why I think it's a valid complaint, or it can be a valid complaint, but a lot of times what we learn is there was a trade-off in the negotiation. So when you think about a lease, especially in the LOI, there's a number of variables like rental rate versus tenant improvement allowance versus free rent. Those are probably like the three main ones, right? But there are other variables, and we'll learn. They're like, hey, this tenant refused to increase the per square footage, so this is the most we could give them on TI. We let them know, and you know, that's as far as we can go. Whereas, you know, if they were willing to go up in the per square footage, then their TI would have gone up, or just whatever. There are opportunities for a tenant to misunderstand how the economics of a deal work. And they may have even made the decision that locked them into low TI or low abated rent or whatever, and they are unfairly kind of putting that on the broker. Like I said, it actually might be the broker. And dental brokers are not immune to doing a bad job or not fighting as hard. They're not all created equal. Honestly, there are a few that I've worked with that I've come across in my career where I've been like, how does this guy stay in this industry? Unfortunately, most of the times that I've ever thought that, either they get out of dentistry eventually, or they are, you know, just rarely doing deals. But it happens, and so there are legitimate complaints about brokers not fighting hard enough. But also be careful, because at least half of the time, maybe more, sometimes our clients are maybe misunderstanding how these deals get negotiated. Maybe that's the broker's fault for not explaining that process perfectly, but like I said, sometimes verifiably we hear from the other side about how that negotiation went down, and the trade-offs that were made make sense. And so if you are asking your friends about a certain broker and they're saying, well, I didn't feel like he gave me enough TI, well, it may be your friend's fault, and it may not be. So collect as much information as you can, get as much feedback as you can, but then also talk to more than one broker. I think that these real estate brokers, there needs to be a good understanding about what you're trying to accomplish. And a key ingredient there is going to be fit, making sure that there's a personality fit and that you feel they hear you. And so you probably need to talk to more than one and make sure that you're really connecting with that broker. Again, it all comes back to odds. Does using a dental broker guarantee you're going to get a better deal than not using a broker at all or whatever? No, it doesn't. There are no promises, and especially in a transaction where there can never be an A/B test. However, because we've been doing this a pretty good amount of time and we've seen quite a lot of deals, we feel really confident that using a dental real estate broker, again, competent and honest dental-specific real estate broker, our clients get better deals. almost 100% of the time. And that's just our observation, our educated guess, because again, can't test it. But if a client is asking, should I use a broker? 100% of the time, we're going to say yes. Talk to a few of them, go with someone you like, but almost positively, you will get a better deal if you use one. And that's all we have today. I hope everyone's staying safe and healthy, and we'll see you next time.